So, how good are you at listening? Not very good, apparently. Can't even answer a simple question, oh dear. Let's try that again, shall we? How good are you at listening? Okay. Sometimes we just don't hear, do we? That's the problem. We don't hear. Sometimes we hear, but we don't understand, do we? And then sometimes we hear and we understand, but we just don't do what we're asked. Yeah, so I asked you a question. I'm not sure whether you just didn't hear me, you didn't understand, or maybe you just wanted to be rebellious and not answer. Well, should we see how good you are listening? We're following our series of following Jesus at the moment. We've been looking at lots of different topics over the past month or so. But just to get us started, I just want to see how good you are at listening. Okay, so I want you to listen very carefully and tell me what you hear. Any ideas? Yeah, bowling, and it's what do you think happened? We've bowled a ball, and yeah, it's hit the skittles, hasn't it? Yeah. Do you think the person got a strike, Eloise? Did it sound like they got a strike? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well done. It was a bowling strike. Okay, next one. Eloise. Yeah, it's flushing toilet sound. It's not just running water. That sounds exactly like a toilet flushing, doesn't it? And it was a toilet flushing. Okay. Next one. Yeah, it's an owl, isn't it? You can just call out, Eloise. You don't have to put your hand up. It's an owl hooting. Okay. It could have been a computer mouse, couldn't it, clicking? But it is actually a pen. And I think when I actually mime it, it does sound a lot better. So it's a pen clicking. Okay. Next one. Yeah, vacuum cleaner. It's got a very specific sound, hasn't it? Some of you might not know what it sounds like if you don't do the vacuuming at home. But, yeah. Okay, then these are going to get slightly harder. Okay, I'm going to be quite mean about the next one. I'm very specific. I want the exact answer. Who thinks it's a blackbird? Who thinks it's some other type of bird? What do you think, Eloise? A robin, okay. It is actually a blackbird. And it's a very... when you listen to it, you think, I know that sound. I've heard that sound before. But actually knowing it is a blackbird, it's something different. Oh, were they? Keeping you awake. Okay, let's try another one. Doesn't sound happy. That's a warning call, I think, of a particular bird. Any ideas? Not a magpie, no. It's a little blue tit. Yeah. Wasn't happy. Probably, warding off predators or other birds. Okay. What about this one? Now, Sheila knows this one, I think, without cheating. Do you know what it is, Sheila? It's a chiff-chaff. And that the reason why it's called the chiff-chaff is because it sounds like a chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff, chiff-chaff. It's a chiff-chaff. Okay, let's do a couple of easy ones. Oh, yeah, chiff-chaff. Yeah, ducks. I think there's actually a couple of ducks on there. So it's just ducks, mallards, quacking away. And then the last one. What is it? Yeah, a chicken. A chicken. Or a cockerel, yeah. So that was a bit of fun to get us thinking. Let's take a look at God's word now. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament in chapter 3. All of the words are going to come on the screen, so you can just follow along. There'll also be some pictures just to kind of get our imaginations going. And we'll just read through it. It's quite a bit of a longer reading. And then we'll unpack it and we'll have a think about it. So feel free to follow along on the screen or in your own Bibles. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak they could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called and said to him, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So that might be a story that you know of. You may know part of it better than you know the others. You might know a bit of the context as well. But I'm sure you can already detect that there is a theme this morning, a theme of listening. Because that's what it was all about. Could Samuel, you know, hear God's voice? Was he listening? Was Eli listening? A couple of years ago, Sheila and I went to an event held by the RSPB, so the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, in Samwell Valley, and we went at 5 o'clock in the morning, so it was pitch black. Couldn't see any birds, but that wasn't the point, because it wasn't about looking at the birds, it was about listening to them. And the event was designed to teach you to listen for the different types of bird call, like how we tried to do earlier. Now, when you're used to hearing certain bird song, then it becomes familiar. So, you know, quite a few people knew the blackbird call. But when you train yourself to listen for certain birds, and if you particularly have somebody who can point it out for you, like, you know, listen to that bird now, that is a robin or a chiff-chaff, then it, you know, you can actually train yourself to pick out certain ones, even if there are lots of different birds all talking at the same time. But it can be very hard if you don't actually listen and you don't have anybody to guide you. Now, this chapter of 1 Samuel has quite a few different things going on. It's part of a wider account of what's happening in both Samuel's early life as a young boy, but also Eli's later life as an older man. But woven into both of these stories is this idea of listening. Are people listening? And I wonder, do you have any testimony or any story about God speaking to you? Yeah, it might be that you feel disappointed in this area because maybe you thought that God had spoken to you in the past about something quite important, but maybe it didn't work out the way you thought. And so you were confused and you thought, well, you know, maybe God didn't speak to me, or maybe I misheard God. Maybe you've never heard God speak to you, or, you know, speak to you in what you'd call a clear and obvious way. And so you might sit there wondering, does God actually speak to people these days like he spoke to Samuel? You might even think it's just you. Maybe God isn't speaking to you, but he's speaking to other people. Well, today, however you feel, I want you to be encouraged, but at the same time challenged. And I also want to offer a warning to you. Because it can be exciting and I think surprising to think that actually God will speak to us, that God will have a message just for us at a particular time, that he has something just for us. It can be exciting. But it can simultaneously be sobering. It can make us stop dead in our tracks. Something to make you think about that message, something serious. It might be a difficult message for you to swallow, something you feel God is telling you. Or it might be massively encouraging, just an encouraging word at a time when you exactly need it. Now, I think at this stage it's helpful to maybe just dig into what we mean by hearing God speak. What do I actually mean when I say that? And also what we mean when we talk about the word of the Lord or the word of God. Now, the phrase word of the Lord is used twice in this passage. And it's hinted at another time too, so 3 times. So in verse 1, it started off, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And then in verse 7, it said that, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And then right at the end, verse 21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, that's a place. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, through the word of God, the word of the Lord. Now, this phrase can have more than one meaning, depending on, you know, the context we're reading in, where we're reading it in the Bible, how we're using it. So, for example, the word of the Lord, it might mean something that God wants to happen and is just directly willing it to happen. So think about Genesis. In the creation account, you know, it says, God said, and it happened. God said, let there be light, and it was so. So God can act through speech, because God's words are powerful, all powerful. It could be something that God has said to somebody, the word of the Lord. So think about Moses. God spoke to Moses. It could be something that God has said through another person, and that's what we call a prophet. So a prophet hears from God and they pass the message on. The word of the Lord is passed on by a prophet. So think about Jeremiah, for example, who's one of the prophets. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it says this, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of God can also mean Jesus himself. Jesus is the word. We've got that Greek word, the logos, the word. And John's gospel starts with those famous words, doesn't it? The beginning of John's gospel is, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All referring to Jesus, the word. And then finally, we believe that the Bible, scripture, is the word of God. You know, God's God's very words written down for us. Yes, written by people, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, what is written there. There's something divine about the words that are written in the Bible. And the writer to the Hebrews says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." So whichever one of those examples you want to pick, the word of God is powerful. The word of the Lord is powerful. Let's just go back to our sort of Bible account, our passage. Now, this was the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 3. And you might know from the previous two chapters, chapters 1 and 2, that Samuel's mother couldn't conceive a child. So she couldn't have a child. But after being blessed by a priest who happened to be Eli, who we've heard about, she miraculously became pregnant. And so Samuel was set apart by his mother. His mom decided to set him apart to serve God in the temple, in the tabernacle, the tent, where God's presence was. So she set him apart. Now, you might also know that Eli wasn't a very good priest, really. He didn't restrain and hold back his two sons from committing terrible sins against God. So his sons were sinning against God, they were blaspheming, they were treating the sacrifices with contempt, and Eli just kind of turned a blind eye for whatever reason. And in chapter 2, God sent a prophet. So remember, a prophet is somebody who speaks on behalf of God. And God sent a prophet to speak to Eli and to make a judgment against him and his family because of what Eli was doing. He was shirking his responsibilities as a priest. Now, the narrative of what happens in our passage today is actually quite straightforward, isn't it? If you think about what happens. So at first, neither Samuel nor Eli knew that it was God who was speaking. And so we have that kind of, you know, that humorous back and forth, back and forth. Eli, you know, keeps saying, "Go back to bed, you're waking me up." And Samuel waking up thinking that he's calling him. So we have that. And I think that that speaks of Eli's spiritual state. That Eli's spiritual ears had become dull to hearing God's voice. And no doubt that's how he, you know, got into the position he was in the first place with his sons. If he wasn't hearing God's voice properly for whatever reason, his ears had become dull, then maybe that's why he didn't hear the warning that came from the prophet about his son's behaviour. Maybe Eli had heard God's voice because the prophet would have spoken quite clearly. But maybe he shrugged it off. Maybe Eli said to himself, you know, "Oh, this isn't God speaking. Maybe this prophet is just making it up, or maybe he's a false prophet." And so he overlooked his son's sinful behaviour because it was more convenient. But Eli was being disobedient. Disobedient to God's word speaking to him. So for Eli, I think that incident at the beginning speaks of his ears being dull. But for Samuel, I think it's just lack of experience. And that is not sinful. You know, Samuel was a young boy and he just didn't recognise God's voice. He hadn't heard it before. He hadn't learned to recognise when God was speaking. And it actually tells us that in the text. It says in verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." So God hadn't revealed himself to Samuel yet. Even so, after God persisting in calling, it clicked for Eli. And I wonder whether part of this was actually God wanting Eli to be the one to actually go, "Ah, it's the Lord speaking." Because actually Eli did know God's voice. He'd just been ignoring it. So Eli did the right thing in that moment and he instructed Samuel what to do. He could have actually stopped Samuel from hearing God's voice and that would have just been even worse. That would have been putting more sin on top. He was a priest. He was supposed to be helping people to, you know, to come and worship God and hear from him. So Eli told him what to do. And then what Samuel did and what Samuel said, I think, is really profound. Because, you know, Samuel could have just parroted what Eli told him to do. But actually, we see some of Samuel's heart in what Samuel said. So let's just look at what he actually says. In verse 10, it says, "Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, this sort of phrase has got a specific meaning behind it. Samuel isn't just saying, okay, God, I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening. What have you got to say? That is not the heart that Samuel is saying. He's saying that he's listening, but with a specific intention of obeying what he's going to hear. So he's saying, God, I am listening to you. I'm ready to hear what you've got to say, and I'm ready to do what you've got to tell me. Now, a helpful picture here might be a fancy restaurant. Who gets to go to fancy restaurants lots? Okay, maybe not. Well, let's just picture a fancy restaurant. You know, maybe one of these kind of French restaurants where it like costs, you know, a month's wages just to walk through the door, okay? You've probably all seen it in films. I've never been to one of these posh restaurants, by the way. So imagine one of these restaurants. And when you're in there, the staff and the waiters and the waitresses, like, they're literally there to care for your every single need, okay? They're really attentive. And imagine that you drop a fork accidentally, or you knock a fork off your table. Now, you know, normally just be like, oh, I'll pick up the fork myself and, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Give it a bit of a dust off, 2 second rule and all of that. But in this fancy French restaurant, you know, the waiter is there instantly. I'll get that for you, sir. You know, they're just waiting, attentive. And they come and bring you, you know, a brand new fork. They are there. And that is what Samuel is doing. Samuel is ready. And he is willing to listen to God speak and do what he says. Samuel is attentive. Now, this is in stark contrast to Eli. Because Eli had ignored what God said to do. To the point where God had to send a prophet to reinforce what he needed to do. But even then, Eli did not obey what God was saying. And so then we come to what God has to say to Samuel. This is just another confirmation of what God was going to do against Eli and his family. You know, God had probably spoken to Eli directly. He'd sent a prophet, and now he was having to send the boy who he'd been training up in the temple. Now, it would have been so easy for Samuel at this stage to say to himself, this can't be God speaking. I can't possibly pass this on to Eli. Just think about it. Put yourself in Samuel's shoes as a young boy. Eli would have been training him up in the temple, in all of the things to do in the temple. He would have looked up to Eli. Maybe Samuel had been aware of what his sons had been doing, though. So maybe Samuel did think, you know, this isn't right. Maybe is he disobeying God? But Samuel had said that he was the Lord's servant. He said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel followed through with that. He said, I am listening, I will obey. Let's just pause for a moment and think how this applies to us. You know, first, have you heard God call your name? Have you ever felt God call you? That, you know, it's that first and probably most important call that God will make on your life. That's the one that causes you to stop and think, there is a God. God does exist. But not just that, he knows my name. He's not some distant and abstract God. He's a God who loves me. He knows my name. You know, that's the moment that can make you realise you need to change your life, change the direction your life is going in, to change your thinking. And the Bible, it's got a word for that, the word repent. So repent is this idea of changing your thinking, changing your mind, changing the direction you're going in, turning to God, turning away from sin. You know, the moment where we realise that we are sinful, that we do have sin in us, that we're selfish, that we ignore God. And that there's a barrier that we've put up between ourselves and God. And that we need to be saved. So when God calls us, all of those things will happen. And it may be that you have realised that, and you've called to Jesus and you've said, Jesus, save me. I need you to save me. I need you to be my Lord, to be my master. But God doesn't stop calling our names. It's not as if, you know, God calls us once, calls our name, and we turn to him, and then that's it. And then we can go on living as though God doesn't exist. Because God longs to have a relationship with us. God is constantly speaking to us all the time. He longs to have his way in us, to shape us, to make us more like Jesus. And this is one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a deep and a personal way, and he points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants us to become more and more like Jesus. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. Now, as I reflected on this story of Eli and Samuel, I realised how privileged we are compared to them. Because they were living in Old Testament times before Jesus had walked on the earth. And they were, you know, in the tabernacle, the temple of God, where God's presence dwelt in the Holy of Holies, that kind of inner sanctuary. That's where they were. But they did not have direct access to God. They were kind of on the outside, even though Eli was the priest. He didn't have direct access to God all of the time. But for those of us here who are Christians, who know God, who have heard him call us, we have been filled with God's presence, with the Holy Spirit. And that is something that would have been amazing for people like Eli and Samuel to hear about. That all of God's people would have had his Spirit poured out on them. That's something we're going to be thinking about in a couple of weeks' time at Pentecost, remembering that event where the Spirit was poured out on the entire church. We don't have to go to a special place like a temple to meet with God, to come and meet him. Yes, we gather here at church because it's good to be together, and that is a pattern God's got for us. But when we leave this place, we take God's presence with us. And God can speak to us wherever we are. You know, we pray, and I hope that God is speaking to Duncan right now when he's at home. And to other people, that God is speaking to Thelma for her service where she is today. You know, you are able to hear God's voice. When you read your Bible, or you listen to somebody speak from it, or you just talk as other Christians, or maybe when you're just sitting in complete silence on your own, God can and God will speak to you by his Holy Spirit. So take that as a massive encouragement. You know, be encouraged, be filled with hope, be filled with joy, that you are able to hear God's voice. And that's because of what God has done. It's not because of us. You know, it was God who, when Jesus died on the cross, it was God who tore the temple curtain in two from top to bottom to signify and symbolise that there would be no barrier now between men and people. It was God who removed that barrier. And then the Father and the Son, they sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to be with his people. And this wouldn't have been possible because of our sin. But it is because Jesus died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. You know, we are washed clean, we are made right when Jesus died on the cross, when we turned to God, when we repented, when we accepted God, we accepted the state that we were in. And so it's a massive privilege, it's a massive encouragement, it's a massive blessing to be able to hear God's voice. We shouldn't take it lightly. And so we should actually take time to listen to God. But we are still able to face the same problems that Eli and Samuel faced. You know, we can be inexperienced like Samuel, inexperienced at hearing God speak. And that might be because you don't expect God to speak to you. You know, why would God speak to you? Or speak to you? Who are you? Well, if you're a child of God, then God will speak to you. God is probably speaking to you all the time and you don't realise it. It might be because you don't read your Bible regularly. And so you're just not used to hearing what God might be saying. Because God does speak through his Bible when you read it. He can speak to you. Or maybe you fill your life with so many distractions that fill your mind and fill your heart that there just isn't room for God to speak to you. Or maybe we can be like Eli. That actually we do hear God. We hear him speaking to us about something. But we just don't do what God says. We disobey God. Maybe the issue is that you think you know what God wants to say to you already. You know what you want God to say, and so that's all you're listening for. And so you just ignore everything else, and you get confused. You know, maybe you are in a difficult season of your life right now. And you're listening to God, and all you want to hear is how you're going to get out of this difficulty that you're in. That's all you were listening for. But what if God is saying to you that you're in that place for a reason? It's not nice being in a difficult situation. facing stress or just anxiety about things. But it might be that you're in that season for a reason and you just don't realise what it is. And that God actually wants to do something good in your life through that situation. Or maybe he wants to do something to bless other people through the situation you're in. I'm not saying that God inflicts us with bad things. Bad things happen. We're living in a sinful world still. There is still sin around. Yeah, it won't be until that day when Jesus comes back, when all of creation is made new again, where there'll be no more sin. But maybe sometimes we put words into God's mouth. We know what we want him to say, and so we're just listening. Now, don't get me wrong, when we come to God in prayer, we can tell God how we're feeling. We can tell God that we're just sick and tired, that we're frustrated, that we're angry, that we're struggling. We can offload our burdens to God. And God, in fact, tells us to do that. That we're supposed to cast our cares and our burdens and our anxieties onto Jesus. So we can tell God all of that and God will listen. God loves us. But prayer is a two-way conversation. So when we're waiting to hear from God, let's not put words in his mouth. Let's be that attentive servant, that waiter or waitress who's just waiting to hear what God says, waiting for the master to speak to us. It can be especially hard, I think, when God points out sin in our lives. Something that isn't quite right in our life and God wants to chip it away, a rough edge maybe, to make us more like Jesus. That can be really uncomfortable. And our natural reaction is to just kind of say, that isn't God speaking, I'm okay, thank you. I don't want to change. Now, I could read out a list of things, a list of sinful behaviours, but I don't need to do that because God can speak to us. Yeah, let's ask God the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin. Let's ask him to point out where have we got rough edges that he maybe wants to chip away at. I wonder how you feel right now about, echoing those words. Speak, for your servant is listening. Do you feel like you really could say that before God? That you could say to God, God, I want you to speak to me. No matter what you say, even if it's something that I maybe don't want to hear, but I'm going to obey and I'm going to follow it. I wonder how you feel about saying those words. It's amazing really that we can be God's servants. That we, all of us, all Christians are priests. Okay, Christianity is not split between, the priests and everyone else. We're all priests. We're a priesthood of all believers. So everybody who's a Christian, who has the Holy Spirit living in them, is a priest. The idea that God wants us and that he chooses to use people like us, all of us here, with all of our flaws. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. That he wants us to be his hands and his feet. I think that is amazing. It's an amazing thought. But that brings a challenge, doesn't it? It brings a warning. If we ask God to speak to us, and we say, we're asking you to speak with the intention that we are going to obey, but then we don't actually obey God, well, is that good? It's not good, is it? If we say to God, God, speak to me. I'm going to obey what you say. But then God tells us to do something. And it might be something that we don't want to do because maybe it'll make us ourselves feel like we're sinful and we aren't worthy of God's love. Or it might be something inconvenient for us because it might mean we need to give up some time to help somebody else. So it's not good when we say to God, we'll obey him, and then we don't do that. But God is really gracious to us. God is forgiving. God is patient. We were looking at patience the other week, weren't we, when Sheila came to speak. God is so patient with us. He gives us so many second chances. God knows what we are like. But we shouldn't abuse that grace that God gives us. So just because God gives us second chances and God is gracious to us and God is forgiving, that doesn't mean that we should just keep going on ignoring God, disobeying him and doing things that we know are wrong. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans. He actually says quite clearly that we should not intentionally go on sinning just because we know that God will forgive us and that he can be more and more gracious. Paul says, Basically, God forbid that. But we can ask God to help us. So we can say to God, God, I'm listening to you. I want to obey what you've got to tell me. Help me to obey. Help me to be obedient. And God will lead us. God is gentle with us. And that's what I'd like us to do now. We are going to sing in a second. We're going to pray that God's Spirit will fill us, will come upon us. And as we do that, we'll be thinking about what God might want to be saying to us. Sheila has got a handout that she's made, which kind of summarises some of the things we've been looking at this past month about the idea of following Jesus. And it's got, you know, those topics on. So patience, acceptance, so accepting other Christians, you know, over things that are minor, that are not important, and not condemning other Christians and not judging other Christians. We looked at the idea of honesty, being honest with ourselves, with others, but being honest with God. We looked at kindness and goodness last week and the challenge that was brought there, that it wasn't just a simple childlike kindness, that it was actually far more radical. Love for enemies, praying for enemies. And then we've just looked at listening. So we're going to sing a song of prayer together. But I'm going to ask Sheila now to just come round and bring the sheets and the pens. And as the sheet comes round, just take a look at it, look at the questions that are on there. And then once we've all got a sheet, we'll play the music, we will sing together, we'll sing that prayer to ask God's Spirit to come and speak to us. And then I'm going to ask you just to sit in silence, look at the questions. You might choose to write something down, you might just want to think about it and pray to God. And then I kind of, you know, I challenge you to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And that is between you and God. And I'll leave a few minutes to do that, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. And then I'll come back to the front and I'll close in prayer.